Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a weekly podcast on navigating life after booze.
Hey, Kaylee.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I am good. I think I am officially a year and a half sober today. I am confirming that on my phone right now, but I don't. Yeah, one year, 6 months, and one day, 18 months.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I got a solid 8 hours of sleep last night, and I got to the gym for the first time in a week since being sick. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah, it was rough, but happy to be here.
I've been alcohol free for 458 days today.
Hell yeah.
And I am feeling pretty good. I was able to roll with some disruptions in my day, and so that feels really nice, not to let it just like totally throw me off. And I am looking at those types of things right now as opportunities for me to rise to the occasion, to, you know, like you said, you sent me this meme that was like, we get to choose how we respond to things that don't go our way. So yeah, that's what I'm doing today.
That's awesome. I love the idea of using it as like a test, which is something you've taught me, is like, oh, this is a test. Or I don't know, sometimes I get so up my own ass and I'm so grumpy, and then when I like pull back, I'm like, this is not significant. Totally. I'm just dramatic.
Totally. And it's actually funny, in the spiritual world, technically there's no such thing as a test from the universe. Everything's an opportunity, but the To Be Magnetic work definitely uses the word test. So as an overachiever, I like to pass or fucking fail at things. Yeah. So here we are.
A plus.
Yes. What are we talking about this week?
Oh, man. Speaking of overachiever, we are talking about the fight or flight response. So this is a physiological response to a threatening situation. So, you know, you would think that it would only happen in scenarios like car crashes or
like hunting our own food.
Yeah, hunting our own food, or yeah, like being attacked by a vicious animal. But it actually happens all the time as part of burnout, as part of stress, as part of hustle culture. So those are kind of all the things that are going to be themes in the fight or flight response. So when you're feeling burnt out or stressed, you're like going into that fight or flight response. So that's what's happening to your body. And it can seriously like fuck with you both physically and mentally. So we wanted to talk about just what causes us to go into fight or flight, what that looks like, what that's looked like for us, and then some things that we're doing to try and avoid that or minimize that.
Yeah, I love that. And I genuinely believe that fight or flight is something that our bodies have been armored with to tell us that we're in danger, right?
Yeah.
It's the release, and I am not a scientist and I am not extremely well read. However, I believe it's your, is it parasympathetic? Your nervous system?
Parasympathetic nervous system.
I love you.
I don't know.
I love that we get to do this together, dude. I love that we get to do this together. It's your nervous system, and essentially a hormone, two hormones, adrenaline and cortisol, that are being released into your body to tell you that you're in danger. It also has something to do with blood flow to all of your limbs and in each part of the body. So I think that it's really important to know that as we've evolved as a species, we have just gone from living in these rested states and then these high fight or flight states to survive, right? We went from, you know, hunters and gatherers and living with no technology, living with no performance other than survival, to now constantly living in a state of stress and constantly living in a state of fight or flight, where we are never getting back down to that rested state and regulating our nervous systems. And so that is what's so damaging to our mental health and physical health. And when we participate in this hustle culture, or whatever it is to you, whatever hot word we want to use for it, we are just constantly putting our bodies under that duress, and that cortisol and the adrenaline is running all the time.
Right. And your body doesn't know the difference, right? Like, your body doesn't know whether you're being chased by like a fucking saber-toothed tiger or, you just read a text message that you couldn't decipher if someone's mad at you. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. Right. I love that. That is the best comparison. So we want to take this time to assure you that our advice in this episode is not to self-care your way out of burnout or taking a magic pill. And we aren't even really sure or know the whole answer to not suffering from burnout. I just went back, Kaylee, and listened to episode 1 and 2. And the way I talk about the things and how much I do then, you know, 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Compared to now, I'm like, no wonder you're burnt out, Katie. You like were taking pride in waking up at 5 a.m. every day and doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that and not listening to the way that your body was trying to tell you to slow down. So with that being said, now that we're sober and burnt out, what do we do? I think a lot of us in the sober community are going through that. We've all taken on all of these projects because we feel so good and so full of life and have so much energy. But I really think it's unlearning the back-to-back appointments and unlearning the jam-packed schedule. And for me, saying no to the urge to say yes to everything in order to bring ultimate fulfillment, because it's still not doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like, everything goes back to childhood trauma always, but it's a survival response to like get you to a secure place to where you are right now. But you don't necessarily, I think there's a time and a place to hustle, but it's like checking in and figuring out like whether that's something that's actually serving you at this moment. And I was listening to a really cool podcast that talks more on that, that I'll get into a little bit more later. But I really want to hear, Katie, just like, if someone hasn't listened to episode 1 or 2, which you should, but even before then, like before starting the pod, before being sober, like how, like, why are you like this?
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, as I've heard and listened and read, so much of the way that we respond to trauma, and like we've talked about before, trauma can be big, it can be compounded, and it's different for everyone. And we have a different threshold depending on what our lives have looked like, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to use that term loosely. It's also a hot word, you know, like we've been talking about. But so much of that is determined between the ages of 0 to 14. Mm-hmm. And I was raised by someone who I absolutely adore and did her very best to make sure that we, my sister and I, had successful and fulfilled lives. And in doing that, self-care wasn't modeled for us. I don't even think have any real like concept of how to, or the privilege, right? Because in the society we live in, it's an absolute privilege to be able to rest.
Yeah, 100%.
So because rest wasn't modeled for us, it's not something that we were able to implement into our lives to have a sustainable lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So with all of that being said, and because of the compounded trauma in my life, I started drinking at such a young age when I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And a lot of that looked like drinking and numbing. And when you're doing that, alcohol actually releases more cortisol into your body and adrenaline. Like you're actually like putting yourself in a longer term fight or flight, and you're presenting yourself in so many more fight or flight situations, like drunk driving, right? Or getting into uncomfortable or non-consensual situations with people that you wouldn't normally be in. And so when I was in high school, I started working when I was 16. So I was going to school full time and working like 20 to 30 hours a week as a sophomore and junior. My senior year, I was working probably closer to 30 hours a week, playing sports during all this time, and also going to school. And that alone, right, mixed with having a social life and drinking on the weekends. Like, how did we do that? Why did we do that at 17? I have no idea.
The energy that could have been spent on other things. But
yes. Oh, my gosh. Right. And not just spent on other things. Like, what if we treated that like a battery pack?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I just think back to like emptying it all out for nothing, for absolute distress.
Yeah.
And then into my early 20s, it was just a lot more of the same thing. And, you know, I think back to my early 20s, and both my grandparents were sick and getting old. And I was working from about 4:30 in the morning until noon at a coffee shop. And I was making great money, and I was, you know, in and out of this like super tumultuous relationship. And I started drinking so much more during that time in my life, like a lot of us. And I just remember getting so fucked up and waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and knowing I couldn't go to work. Like, just knowing, like, there's no way. I was the queen of call off. And I remember one time specifically, and I'm so sorry if this negatively affects anyone out there that's listening to this, like any of my old coworkers, friends, whatever. I remember one time specifically calling in drunk and literally saying that one of my family members died, that one of my grandparents died, and I couldn't make it to work. And he didn't.
I always felt like I was going to jinx it. Like, that always made me so nervous.
It's awful.
When I was going out, I was usually going out with my coworkers. So I had to have a situation where I called someone and was like, girl, you know, I got in with that fake ID last night. Like, you know, I went ham. Like, this is so irresponsible of me. But like, can you please cover my shift? And she did. She was an OG. But
oh, dude, I straight up no call, no showed to two of my jobs.
No call, no show is like my biggest fucking fear.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I mean, there was no way. And it was awful. One of the times was actually this camping trip that a bunch of our friends went on. And it was like one of the original camping trips. And I really wanted this group of friends to like me. It's my current group of friends, which is so funny. And I went and I got wasted, the running theme. And I tripped and fell and like broke my knee in half.
Oh my fucking God.
And I couldn't walk and I was drunk. And a couple who has been married a long time, they were sober and coming back to Eugene that night. And they drove me back and I didn't go to work. And then I just didn't work for like 3 months after that.
You were dead.
I had surgery. I had surgery. And I remember calling my mom, like, Mom, help me. And she was like, you know, halfway across the country and was just like, this is not sustainable. Like, you can't keep doing this. Yeah. You're not even 21 yet. So,
yeah,
I think that part of not resting, part of just always going and going and never giving yourself a second to feel what you're feeling leads to more drinking at that age. I mean, that's all that there was to do. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of how it all started to unfold for me. What about you, Kaylee?
I feel like when I was growing up at like different parts in my life, it wasn't always constantly this way, but I didn't really feel like either of my parents like had my back. And I very much like felt like I needed to like pull myself up by my bootstraps and like make my own way because no one else was gonna be, you know, I had to take care of myself and I needed to figure my own shit out and I needed to make sure that I could always pay my own bills or if something happened that I at least had like $20 of birthday money to like bail me out of something, you know? Yeah. And with my mom, it was just because we, you know, didn't have a lot of money. We were sleeping on my grandma's couch when my parents first got divorced and I was living with her. And then with my dad, things were pretty good. But when he was in a relationship or interested in like any sort of girl he was dating or when my stepmom came into the picture, I just was no longer a priority or something that could really take up a lot of headspace for him. So I started working full time when I was 15 at the Gateway Mall, shout out. At a sunglass kiosk in winter. I would like ride my bike there after school, ride my bike back. I started like having a hard time in my AP classes. My parents were at like of the mindset that like if you want to have a job and you want to be responsible enough to have a job, you have to be responsible enough to take yourself to and from that job. So
that's insane.
Oh, dude, it's crazy. I used to have there was another person. Her name was Bobette. She was the coolest. She had a van and she would drive me home in her van and throw my bike in the back of her van, drop me off 3 blocks away from home so that Like, my parents still thought, she was, like, secretly hooking it up. She was like, you're 15 years old and you're going to drive from, like, Springfield and the Gateway Mall or, like, you know, ride your bike at 11 o'clock at night. No way. So, really interesting rules. I could go on a tangent about that. But, yeah, and then got the job at the front desk at the hair salon when I was 16 or 17. Maybe I had, like, a year off and then... did that job all through college. So I would go to school and then I would go to work immediately after school. And then I would work there until, you know, sometimes 8 or 9 p.m. And then when I first moved to Portland, I was interning and working a job. So there was a time where, like, I didn't have a day off for 3 months. And I don't think I made it the full 3 months. I think I ended up, like, basically having a breakdown. But I would get off those jobs and I would just go to the convenience store by my house and get a bottle of wine and just drink on my balcony and chain smoke and call my friends and throw up and not eat dinner. Like, just, I mentioned a little bit of that before, but that was that time I was just working constantly. And, There's this thing, Katie, that I was listening to that podcast. It's called Unfuck Your Brain with Cara Lowenthal. She's amazing. And she had this woman on. Her name is Caroline Dooner. And she wrote two books, one called The Fuck It Diet and one called Tired as Fuck. And they have this whole episode where they're talking about burnout. And she said that if you are used to hustling, rest is going to feel like shit. Yeah. Which is just crazy. Yes. Because I'm thinking about, like, oh yeah, this is totally disrupting everything that I've known and done since I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And then, sorry.
No, please continue. I could interrupt you for the rest of our lives and I will. So
no.
The time that you need.
I just think this one's gonna, this was like, this fucked me up to hear. So, yeah, if you're used to hustling, rest is going to feel like shit, especially if you've been hustling to get away from your own negative self-talk. This is why we're addicted to busyness. This is why we're addicted to hustle culture, which if you think about it, that's why I drink alcohol, too. Right? Like, these are all things that we're doing in order to not feel our feelings.
That's literally the cause of my anxious feelings in sobriety. Yeah. Like, the second I stop, then I have to feel my feelings. And there's just so much there, Kaylee. First of all, you're amazing. You have done so much for so long. No, like, we do not get the recognition that we deserve. I mean, I think that it's really cool that some of those things happen to be instilled upon you along the way, right? Like, being able to support yourself and being able to be resilient enough. However, binge drinking is self-care is not a form of resilience. So really, you weren't given the tools that you deserve to be able to work that hard by your caregivers. And I think a lot of us can relate. I also think that we all know most of our caregivers were doing the best with the tools that they had at the time as parents. And so, you know, I can relate to another degree. I also had one of those situations where when I lived with my dad for that couple year stint, he had a wife who did not want to be a mother anymore at all. And I was like a fucking monster to them. And they were to me too. And like, I would come home to like domestic disputes, right? Like when you're 14 and you walk in and there's glass all over the floor because they've been like physically throwing shit at each other, you immediately are like, well, I need to call my friends and go get drunk at 15. Bye. You know, like, why would you want to be home?
Yeah. And also, like, I'm going to work a double for the next 2 weeks so that I can afford my first month's rent so I can get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, and that's something else, too, to be said, that it's proven. And this is a statistic that we, when Kaylee and I were doing our little prep work, that we read that the children of alcoholics live in a fight or flight almost consistently. Mm-hmm. Hence, they are so much more affected by that hormone release, by the cortisol, by the adrenaline, and in turn, are living their compounded trauma. I mean, that fight or flight just kicks in consistently for the rest of their lives, right? You have to actively work against that. That's not necessarily my lived experience, but it is for a lot of people. Alcohol supersedes just our, you know, relationship with it. It also affects the people around us.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you never feel safe at home.
Yeah. to any kind of substance, you know, to any kind of addiction or, you know, toxicity or narcissism in parents as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Fucks you up. Fucks your shit right up.
Fucks you up.
Shit. Well, how did you decide that you didn't want to live like this anymore? Ugh. I mean, we're still, I feel like we're just on the precipice of kind of like, okay, we're realizing this isn't sustainable. You've been getting, Katie's been getting headaches from too much screen time. Not to out you.
Yeah, no, fucking out me, please. It's good for my accountability. Well, I will say that, you know, once I like grew out of that early 20 style drinking, I had two jobs when I was 24 until I was like 27. Mm-hmm. I worked at a coffee shop still, or a different one, from 5 a.m. to noon. And then I would work at a pizza place from 1 to 7 in the day.
So from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Yeah, 4 days, or like, only a couple of the days were doubles, but I was still working like 65 hours a week. However, I paid off all my debt that year.
That's dope.
I was taking two classes at the community college, and then I dropped one, and I passed one, though. So, hey. Also, that human sexuality class at Lane Community College by Tova is like, it changed my life. So I'm so glad that I did that, even if I don't have a degree to show for it. Anyways, during this time was wine drinking. That's when our girl group like got really close. I was living in Springfield. Steve and I had just bought our first house, and you know, we had the Alan Maiden house, and Kaylee had her apartment, and like we, you know, and so I was really heavily wine drinking, and it affected my performance and my ability to wake up in the morning, and I was not prepared for work. And that, like, my more adult and more professional or like more serious life definitely did a number on me. I actually went to the doctor at 26 and my cholesterol was through the roof from the amount of alcohol I was drinking, and I stopped eating meat. The doctor was like, you should cut back on alcohol. And I was like, how about if I stop eating meat? And he was like, okay, yeah, like not eating fast food is gonna be great for your cholesterol, but like it's probably the whiskey and the wine. I was like, okay. So at that point in my life, I started to like, you know, self-care my way out of feeling burnout on working way too much and doing way too much, yeah. You know? And then fast forward when I quit drinking, and I almost took on more than I did while I was drinking.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to feel all the feelings that I was feeling. I didn't have the tools. I didn't work a program either. Kaylee didn't either. Mm-hmm. I had Reframe app as a guide through like after about 4 months of sobriety. But I said yes to everything. I started so many projects, so many side hustles, and just filled my time with fitness. I became like a cardio addict. And what like it's what they say. It's so true. It's like if you don't take a day of rest, your body will decide when you're going to rest for you.
Yeah, it'll shut it down.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I wound up with a lower back problem with like, I have this bunion issue on my right foot, and I just really wasn't giving myself any time to like sit and reflect. And I think that that's one of the biggest things now that I'm doing it or trying to do it. I took that time with myself for granted for sure. But once I removed alcohol and I had all this these things that I was filling my life with, my time with, I realized that I absolutely hated my day job.
Mm-hmm.
Hated it.
Yeah.
And I almost was like, okay, I needed to remove alcohol to see what in my life is making me so unhappy and feeling so exhausted and feeling so burnt out all the time.
And getting clear on that too.
Yes.
I feel like sometimes you think like, oh, like I hate my body. My body sucks, or like my relationship sucks, or whatever. And it's like, that's actually not it. Like my drinking habit was like honestly what really sucked. And then you get clearer after that. But anyway.
Yeah. And so I got really clear. I work for my in-laws. They started an amazing business when my husband was a teenager. He's worked for them his whole life as well. And they all have practice at that. And then I just plopped myself right in the middle of it and decided I'm going to run this business for you guys. No boundaries. I have no boundaries. I had no idea what it would be like to work with my mother-in-law 40 hours a week, who is amazing, but that doesn't mean that I should be sitting in a room with a 64-year-old who gave birth to my husband.
Yeah.
For 60, you know, for like 30 to 50 hours a week. There was a lot of yelling. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a very strong personality and I'm very opinionated and convicted often. I was saying yes to things that didn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
Realizing now sober that this fight or flight was manifesting in a form of a rash. And I've talked about it on the pod before. So I found and picked up the Tubi magnetic work, which was actually really funny. I stumbled across something on Instagram. And no, I posted on my Instagram story, which I love that community so much. But a friend wrote me and was like, mm-hmm. I was looking for journal prompts or like a prompted journal. And she wrote me and she was like, have you not heard of Tubi Magnetic? And I was like, no, I haven't. Let me look at it. So I went and looked at it. And then I like wrote her back. I was like, I'm not really into that.
Which is just so crazy knowing you now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And she was like, okay, well, if you really want to do the real work,
ooh,
like if you're really looking for a journal prompt, like, or something that will like challenge you and encourage you to grow, like I really recommend it. I love it. And shout out to Emily. She is one of our listeners and she's always sharing our episodes. And she texted me today. She had a drunk dream last night. She was like, over it. And I was like, I'm so sorry.
Those are the worst.
We were like, we're so grateful. It's just a dream. And that's the closest yeah. we'll ever get to it. And yay. But I started doing the Tubi magnetic work. And essentially the first thing that it asked me is like, what's keeping you from living mm-hmm. your most authentic life? And yeah. I was like, I fucking hate my job. I hate it. And I started doing the meditation work and the deep imagining work. And I started doing the journal prompts and I started to realize that the only way that I was going to live a happier life and really like take advantage of being sober was to create some boundaries yeah. where they were lacking in my work life and, you know, quit
yeah.
or things have to change and really, really, really take responsibility for myself and for my actions and the way that I was responding to things. And so now, fast forward, I've been doing the work since September and it's April and it's taken a long time and I've taken breaks and I've gone back to it and, you know, gone back and forth. I work from home 2 days a week now. I was chained to that desk 45 to 55 hours a week before. Now I work maybe 25 to 30 hours a week. I'm able to pick up and drop my daughter off any days that she has for school. I'm able to stay home with her when I want to, work from home. I'm having hard conversations with my family members that I love, but they also challenge me.
Yeah.
And I just, I feel more like a leader in that space now than I do like a teenage brat. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Because I revert to that when I'm
yes.
feeling stressed and I'm feeling same. Burnt out. And when I'm in fight or flight, I just get like, I'm so over it.
Yes. I get really short and I get really catty and I can get really like, And I noticed that mostly it was kicking in when I was being corrected or when I was being instructed to do something in a way where I wasn't doing it. And like, when I feel like I'm not doing good enough, I immediately shut it down. Right. And I'm not doing that as much anymore. I'm working on those, like a lot of limiting beliefs around having to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that has helped me with my burnout so much. And yeah. And then in my personal life, I stopped scheduling plans for months out and booking out every single amount of my free time. I yeah. am no longer like calendaring it all out. I am saying, hey, I'm not even entering spaces where people are going to ask me 3 weeks from now, can we do this, this, and this? And then this weekend, do you want to do this? And then can we do that this time? And I want to do this this time. Like, I am showing people what kind of energy I'm giving, and that's what the energy that is being given back to me is. And because I'm setting boundaries for my commitments, other people are, A, setting boundaries for theirs and respecting mm-hmm. my boundaries. And then now that I have more free time, I am able to move more authentically and use my intuition to say yes to things in the moment or the day before, where before yeah. I could never say yes to Chelsea Handler 2 hours before because I would have had plans out of my asshole the entire weekend. There's no way I could squeeze it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, that just feels so good. And I really think that like for me, doing reflecting meditation has really helped reset or I don't even know if reset's the right word, just because I don't know enough on like the scientific level. I'm really sorry. Any listeners out there, like, go listen to Sober Powered. She has all of the science. Her podcast is amazing for that. I'm more so just talking about my experience, but slowing down, dedicating time to my nervous system, challenging my limiting beliefs, and looking at something and saying, if this isn't working for me, how can I change it? Or how can I remove it from my life? Like, I genuinely believe there's no other way to stop feeling exhausting all the time, you know, other than like saying, no, perfectionism isn't it for me. That's exhausting me.
Well, and the crazy thing is especially when you're first starting to recover from burnout, you might feel like you don't want to talk to anyone or you don't want to interact. And it's so hard to be like, is this depression or is this me like needing to rest? And I don't know how reliable of a source this was because it was someone on TikTok, but they were saying that it takes 3 to 5 years to recover from burnout. It's just insane the amount of stress, like what stress does physically to your body. But I was going to say, like, you are still doing cool shit. And I also think that the listeners would enjoy hearing about like how you planned for your family trip to Ashland. Just because you've always done cool shit, but you've been doing like 3 things at a time, or, you know, like trying to do it all the time. And you really like are giving yourself more like dedicated focus time, and you seem more like, you know, blissed out. Just like chill.
Well, a lot has gone into that. I took an experience freedom challenge with Nina Camille. Go follow her on Instagram. She's great. She's a yogi. I'm not, but she's applying yogi principles into your day to day. So she has the big 6 and the little 3, and they're essentially like principles to life to be blissed out or like to come back down. Like, relax your shoulders. It's like nutrition, sleep, hydration, meditation, reflection. And there's one other one in there. And then the 3 are prayer, offering, and there's another one. And I'm not doing all of those things in every day, but setting 30 minutes aside to really take time to be and sit by myself has really helped just quiet my mind. It's really just helped so much. But with Ashland, we usually take this vacation every year where we take like 4 or 5 days off, me and my husband and daughter. And usually I have like things booked out, like back to back to back, planned out hour. And this, I booked a resort, which was like pretty low key. It was a mineral water, like bath resort. And it was like on the Zen property with like tea time and gourmet breakfast. And I'm actually going to go back down there and just do a weekend by myself, which I'm really excited about. But we didn't have any plans, and I really didn't have any expectations. And we went, and then we just played it by ear, and we just, like, moseyed around. We didn't wake up at 7 a.m. We slept in until 11 one day. I read 2 books while we were there. We drove to the top of a mountain. We ate at a fine dining restaurant. We went to a bookstore. At the bookstore, we just happened to go into the back and eat some breakfast there or some like lunch there. And there was a poetry reading in the back. That's of, so like, cool. Old retirees that were exploring writing in their retirement, and they were reading it. And I'm like, holy shit, I've been missing out on moments like this my entire life. And right. I don't want to miss out on those moments where I just get to be present. And don't get me wrong, I fucking spent way too much time on my phone. I photo documented everything. Like, I have to out myself there because none of us are perfect. And I'm just not accepting that perfectionism to infiltrate me trying to let go.
Yeah. Well, and you also, like, advocated for yourself beforehand and was like, hey, I'm really trying to take like an intentional break with my family. And so I might not be on my phone very much. And I also like am going to get this stuff done for my social media business like beforehand. And I'm not available. And actually, like, putting that stake in the ground can be so scary, but it's just nice to be like, lose this number. Like, I'm going to be.
Well, and that's, and that's another thing that I did too with my mother-in-law, Janet. I just said to her before I left, because this has been a huge, like, issue in the workplace is I said, if you find a mistake that I've made while I was gone, just know that I tried to do my best and I didn't do it because I don't care, but please don't highlight it or text it to me or save it for me to deal with when I get back. Just know that, like, just take care of it. That's what I would do for you. And she honored that.
That's awesome.
Entirely. And that made all the difference. When I came back, I was like retraining my brain and my nervous system. You don't have to show up here in fight or flight, like ready to kick down the door because you know she's going to fight with you because you messed up or you didn't do something correctly. It's like,
and no. You feel like you have to defend yourself
constantly. And I'm like, no. And it's like, also, I want to walk around my house thinking that everyone here has the best intentions in mind and not always just having to be on the defense, because that was how I lived my entire life. I'm 31, but like, that's the household I grew up in. You know, I was constantly afraid, like, oh my gosh, I can hear footsteps. Like, I do that at work when I'm on my phone and I'm supposed to be working and I hear someone walk by, I like put my phone down really fast because I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. It's really, really, really difficult to live life authentically when you're afraid you're going to get yelled at or you're not doing something good enough. And so, wow, that was a lot. But that's what I'm doing now that I'm not drinking. I'm like exploring that realm. And sometimes it looks like FOMO. Like, I'm like, ooh, I wish I was a CEO of some this, this, and that. But like, also, I am enjoying my time. So yeah, I'm a badass either way. I'm just trying to remember that. What about for you? I want to hear yours because, dude, I can't even believe the way that you have switched shit up for yourself.
Yes, dude, I want to talk about that. Let's do a quick little break and give our sponsors some love, and then I will come back and talk more about myself. If you know me, you know I'm always drinking 5 NA beverages at one freaking time. So I love having different concoctions to switch things up. That's why Dry Hard Pod partnered with High Street Tonics, a woman-owned, locally crafted range of organic herbal bitters and honey cider vinegar tonics. The restorative tonics support digestion and well-being through their herbal properties, and they make the most amazing mocktails. Use the link in our bio to shop their website and use code DRYHARDPOD for 10% off when you purchase.
As you all know, I'm obsessed with Reframe app. It's the number one alcohol reduction app. It's built to help you drink less. Whether your goal is to cut back or quit entirely, Reframe is life-changing. Daily Zoom support groups, a community forum, and challenges, podcasts, TED Talks, you name it. Over 100 resources are accessible in this app at any given time. You can download Reframe app on iOS, use the 7-day free trial, and use code KATY, Katie, for 10% off your subscription.
I'm living my best fucking life over here. I am getting paid so much more to work so much less, and it's insane. And I like just want that for everyone. Like, I'm doing a good job. I'm already getting positive client feedback. I'm already meeting like a lot of the expectations for someone at my role. I think people at work like me. They're inviting me to things, and it's taken me a really long time, and I'm still getting there to recognize that like I'm deserving and it's okay for me to like have this good thing, because it just feels too good to be true. And I feel like, I don't know, someone's gonna find out I'm a fucking imposter and I'm gonna get fired, but it's great. It's great. And I just really started this job with like, I am really gonna not try and sign up for all of the extra groups and the extra things. And I'm really gonna try to like, if they say that it is okay for me to start the meeting with my camera on and say hello and then turn the camera off, and that's written as like something that's accepted, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to like start out the gate doing that. And it's still hard for me when everyone else's cameras are on to be like, like, should I? But it's like, no, I don't have to. And that's protecting me from not calling out and needing a mental health day because I'm like burnt out, or like maybe I was able to squeeze a gym session in really quick so I can be like, hey, and then I can like turn my camera off and like eat a protein bar, or you know, like I'm just taking so much more care of myself. And that work-life balance is real, and it's so sad and heartbreaking, and there's so much just fucked up with the systems that we have put in place, that that is not the case for everyone. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I know a lot of folks are having to work, you know, multiple jobs and do that hustle and be in that hustle, not because it's a choice, not because they like just want to be like a hashtag boss babe, because
it's a requirement of survival.
Yeah, a 300 square foot apartment in Portland is over $1,000. Like, what the fuck are you going to do? So I feel for that. And like, if I could somehow like wave a magic wand or like make like snap my fingers and have a change, it would just be for everyone to only work like 35, 40 hours a week doing something that they enjoy, that they feel good at. And then just like not. This is the first job that since I've started, I do not think about work when I'm off work. And I've been getting off work at 5 p.m., maybe 5:30 at the latest. And in previous jobs, I've worked until 8:30. I've worked until midnight. I've worked until, you know, like I never knew when I was going to get off, so I could never make plans or do any sort of personal self-care after work. Because by the time I finished work, I was so pissed off, I just like drank myself to sleep.
Yeah.
Sad. But so I think it was hard for me to leave the position that I was in, and I was terrified, and I had all of the feelings of like, what if I feel like this current job, these are my people and I feel so comfortable with them, and I know they know that I have those good intentions, and I know they know that if I make a mistake, it's just because I'm overworked and not because I genuinely don't care about the work. And what if these people hate me? And what if these people, like, what if it's not as good as I think it is? Or what if like I end up having to work with a client that I really don't like? And none of that ended up happening. And honestly, the reason I hate change and the reason I took the jump was like, it was literally like, I would be stupid not to, just because I am getting paid so much more for so much less work. And I was like, okay, so what if my coworkers all don't like me? It's probably likely. I work with 400 people now, and I used to work with like 15.
And I love this idea that like it's not our responsibility to know how other people perceive us. Like, unless they need to communicate that they don't like you, it's none of our fucking business.
Right. Exactly. And so it's just funny. Of course, like all of Danny, my partner, calls them paper tigers, like all of these things that you are so afraid of and like think are going to happen, and they like never come true and they're not real.
Yeah.
That is, I do have to like, yes, I have worked very hard and it's taken me that hustle, right? To like finally be in a position where now I've been in the industry for 5 years and I can, you know, kind of upgrade my situation just from like dedicating to like one path and working hard at it. But also I was doing like, while I was working these like 50-hour, 60-hour a week jobs, I was also doing improv, and I was doing improv like 3 times a week. I had like class and then performances like Friday nights until midnight. And the drinking culture, I think, too, with like performing and being on stage is pretty big. It not to say that everyone who does, you know, who's a comedian, I know a lot of comedians who have like also gone sober, but so now I just don't do as many things. Like if it's a weekend, last weekend was busy and I did 2 things.
Yeah.
I had like two social days. And I just like, I love having stuff to look forward to, but I can have one thing a week to look forward to. Like, or like, you know, too, like, oh, we're going to go to a movie on Wednesday. And then on Saturday, like, we're going to brunch. And then it's like, that's a good week for me.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot. Like, I also think that in sobriety, and not just being sober, not just being alcohol free, for anyone that does not have a problematic relationship with alcohol, the relationship with yourself is just so much more important than the relationship with other people.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah. I am living my best life right now because I'm also like, not only is that free time that I'm allowing myself just restorative in general, and I'm like taking my fucking vitamins with that time, and I'm taking extra long showers with that time, and I'm sleeping 10 hours a day on weekends with that time, but I'm also not trying to escape.
Mm.
Like, I'm not trying to escape my life as much.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole, you know, millions of reasons for that. I'm I don't live in those situations of, you know, childhood where I was constantly like in an unstable situation or mm-hmm. in that like fight or flight for those reasons. And I have a nice, comfortable home and like loving friends and all of those things. But I'm also just removing the alcohol from it is huge. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just not spending so much time and energy hating myself and thinking about all the things I should do in order to be like a social person, or so that these people will not stop inviting me to things, or that so people will like me. And I'm just like chilling by myself.
Yeah, I feel that. And even, you know, on the pod, we talk a lot about, I talk a lot about my anxiety. Mm-hmm. I have tried to put a Band-Aid on my anxiety, on anxious feelings, on anxious thoughts, since I realized I was experiencing it. And before I realized it, I was putting alcohol on it. But even in sobriety, I was putting it, you know, a Band-Aid on it by going on hike, exercising. Okay, mm-hmm. neither of those things got rid of it. Okay, now I'm going to go hang out with a friend and have brunch. Okay, I'm still feeling anxious. Now I'm going to meditate. Now I'm going to pull tarot cards. Now I'm going to take a bath. Like, I was literally just trying to self-care productive my way out of feeling these anxious feelings mm-hmm. instead of just sitting on my bed and feeling these anxious feelings to identify what actually is happening and how I'm actually feeling. And I think I would experience much less burnout. I would live in a much more like calm state if I was just sitting and just being with myself and just identifying what my needs are instead of trying to fucking slap the self-care Band-Aid on all of the feelings all the time.
Well, even now I'm like, yeah, but that sounds shitty. Like, that sounds like it sucks. Like, it's scary.
Yeah.
Like, thinking about having a bad feeling and not being able to run away from it.
It is scary. But I don't think that it actually, I think that we still get to feel the bad feeling at the end of the day, even though we've exhausted all of our resources to not feel it, instead of just letting it move its way through our body, having a cry, and then being like, now I get to go on a hike and move my body and let this feeling move out of me and let this emotion that I've experienced release from my body. Like, the body keeps the score. It's going to slow you down eventually, one way or another.
Okay, so not to leave y'all on another cliffhanger, but I really want to dedicate some time to people who have followed us recently, left us a review recently, or just supported us in any way. Really want to make sure we're getting those shout outs because it does mean a lot to us. So we're going to take another quick break, shout out some folks. And if you want a shout out, you should do something nice for us. And we'll make sure to include you in the next episode.
I think that we owe our first Patreon member a shout out.
Ah, yes. We don't even have any content.
We have no content. You are amazing. I love forgot you. That I even released that. So thank you so much to anyone who is clicking our link tree. Thank you to anyone who is liking, sharing, you know, just interacting with us, listening at all. And especially thank you to those who are leaving us the 5-star reviews. And then now, thank you so much to Amanda. I don't know your last name. I don't know where you're from, but I love you.
We love you. Thank you so much for supporting us. It's also allows us to do things like this, like invest in how we're going to be able to do video content and things like that. So there's some exciting stuff.
I lied. It's Amanda Lane. I kind of know her in real life, but not wholly in real life. Like, she went to school with my partner and she's been sober longer than I have. And I love getting to chat with her about sober curiosity. So thank you so much, Amanda. It means the world.
Sorry we don't have any content.
We're working on it.
But it's coming. It's coming.
And we're putting it together our Discord server. Discord server? How do I say that, Kaylee? Tell me.
Yeah, that sounds right. A Discord channel on our Dry Hard Pod server?
Yeah.
Like and subscribe.
Do it. do it. And I'm checking right now to see if we have any new reviews. We do.
Really?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. These like make my life.
I know. It's from Arista 94. The title is Love This For Me. They're so happy that they stumbled on the podcast while they're currently reevaluating their relationship with alcohol. We are hilarious with little baby gems of wisdom mixed in. Oh. Since listening, I'm a lot more gentle with myself. Thanks so much for being willing to share. Okay. I'm going to go cry myself to sleep now.
Yeah, I'm going to find out who this person is so I can be best friends with them because I love the title. I love that they said little babies, and yeah. I love that for me. So,
oh my gosh, there's another one.
Really? Holy yes. shit. Yes.
Oh my gosh, it's from Mama Monroe, who my paths have been crossed with as well via social media. They say that they're so happy that they found our podcast and they feel like they're a part of the conversation with alcohol-free friends, and it's been encouraging for them. So thank you.
Yeah, that like doesn't feel real. That's so sweet. I know.
So cool. We are friends too, by the way, everyone. We love you.
I used to get stress sick. I feel like I've already mentioned this in an episode, but I recently was sick all last week, but it was crazy because I could not remember the last time that I've been sick. And if you ask my mom, I was a sick kid. Like the school nurse probably still knows who I am. She knew who I was like years after.
I wonder if it's because you were living under constant stress and like, you know, just never having a safe space, dude.
Oh, well, and if you think of the timing of things, too, like I would get sick after every major event. I would get like if I was doing a lot of crying, I knew I was probably going to get sick in the next few days. So it's just nice. This was genuinely, I have no idea where I got it from. It's just some, you know, virus running rampant. But I don't know. I feel like I recovered pretty quickly, and yeah, stress really, really fucks with your body.
It's true. It's true. That's the truth.
Oh, okay. Here we go. There was a pause of me trying to remember what I wanted to say about, you know, like sitting on your bed and processing your feelings. I feel like getting the reps in can help, you know, like you've been doing your meditation practice and you've been like sitting. And I remember when you first started, you were telling me like, dude, this is like rough, or like I like have been like crying through this meditation and it's been tough. And I'm like, oh, that sounds so scary. Like, I don't want to do those ones. And even just journaling and processing your feelings, I kind of like having that diagnosis of like, okay, like I'm feeling shitty. I'm just going to write down like where I think this is coming from, the things that I think have like happened to me. And like, I don't know. Using it as like detective work and getting information on yourself, I think can kind of make it a little bit less scary. Yeah. What else, Katie? Like, what are other like tools besides, you know, people who can't like quit
their job,
their job or their 9-to-5, or people who can't like book a weekend spa.
You know. I don't even think a weekend spa, like we were saying, like that doesn't even work. Like that's not even it. It's
really not.
It's not. It's saying no. It's slowing down. It's looking at what's not serving you and doing the actual hard thing. Having the actual scary conversations, challenging the actual limiting beliefs, going to the root. Where does this come from? Acknowledging that person did the best with the tools that they had at the time, and then implementing that work into your life. How can I show up differently next time I get scared? Today, for example, I had to go on Facebook Live. This is the only thing I can do live, Kaylee. And it's not even live, right? Like it gets edited, it gets broken down, and you know, we listen to it and I cringe. Sometimes I'm like, ugh, why'd you say that? Why'd you interrupt her so many times, Katie? Like, why did you, you know, like, oh, whatever. I'm not perfect. This is a really good way to practice that. However, I had to introduce myself on this Instagram Live. Or on this Facebook Live. to this group of people I know nothing about. And they're all like so spiritual and zen, and I'm fucking terrified, right? And I'm recording and I'm like, hey, I'm Katie from Eugene, Oregon. And the thing that makes me feel the most free is being outside. And then I'm like, but also this, and I'm talking. And this is really funny because we're actually video recording our episode for the first time, listeners, yeah. Just so you know. Mm-hmm. I get this rash. And it just works its way up my chest and my neck and my face and my ears. I are burning off and I'm stumbling over my words and I can't take it back. And I didn't answer any of the questions the way I wanted to. But you know what I did? I did not read from a sheet of paper that answered all of the questions. I did not plan ahead to perform in this moment. I showed up vulnerably with no plan, and I knew it wasn't going to be perfect, and I did it anyways. And no, it didn't feel great in the moment, but I did take a couple of times during that experience, and I just... Okay, let me start that over. That's what I did.
And
I really think, like I said, I don't have all the answers. And this is just things I've been collecting, trying to figure out what's wrong with me. Why do I feel this way? How can I not feel this way? How can I, you know, change my life? And breathing, box breathing.
Yeah.
You know, start in your belly, hold it, breathe out audibly, yell when you breathe out, breathe in, let your rib cage expand, hold it. Breathe out, yell. Like, I'm telling you, breath work is everything as far as, you know, just stabilizing the way that your nervous system works. And I will tell you what, I have learned so much from Reframe app too. And this is a shameless plug. I'm telling you that they actually have a fucking burnout course in the app that you can take. And it's amazing. It really, really, really... breathing and meditating and reflecting and sitting by yourself and then taking action to make changes in your life. I don't know if that's the answer, but that's the answer for me right now. What about you, Kaylee?
I can definitely relate to what you're saying about being on Facebook Live. I know I've shared at least a little bit with the listeners about like my body dysmorphia and all of that fun stuff. So I am really trying to get used to seeing myself talking. Mm-hmm. And there's just things about my face and my teeth and my small little mouth in particular that I don't necessarily fucking care for. And it just my voice of I was trying to practice this reel and the way that I was talking or story, just even an Instagram story. You guys have never seen a video of me on Instagram. They are all still selfies at the exact same angle. And I was recording it and my voice, I was just like, hi guys. Definitely make sure to catch up on our episode. And I was like, that is not me, bitch. Like, that is not even how I talk. Like,
I love that.
Why am I doing, like, why? And even just, like, reenacting it right now. Like, I'm shaking it off.
Uh-huh.
And then I think I do this in so many other aspects, so I just need to remind myself. But, like, you have to be able to laugh at yourself. Like, you have to be able to, like, you can just do it and then be like, God, well, that was fucking weird.
Oh my gosh.
Like, oh my gosh, you cannot take yourself too seriously because, I don't know, whenever people break down that wall, I find it really endearing, and those end up being like the closest people that I know are like just so fucking funny. And that's not to say like to lean on being self-deprecating or being like, oh, well, of course I did that because I'm a dumb bitch, you know.
It definitely like makes more people listen to our podcast though, so keep doing it.
But you know, just sometimes yesterday, this is I guess so I went to a workout and I had my no it must have been today I had my pre-workout and something happened in the car where I was trying to get three of my like beverages. I had a smoothie, I had my pre-workout, and I had my water bottle, and I jostled something to where my pre-workout just like basically like jizzed all over the front of my car and it dried and it looked exactly like
did it look like Dude Ranch?
Yeah, totally look like Dude Ranch. Danny got in the car and was like, what happened here? Like, and I was like, oh, yeah, I don't even know. Like, I can't even tell you, you know, like something weird just happened. And my lid was open and I just like Like, aww, you just have to laugh about it. I'd be like, yeah, yeah, I don't know, I fucking made a mess. Like, I do it all the time. And, or like, yeah, I don't know, my teeth, my mouth looks so small in this fucking video. Like,
oh my gosh. I, yeah,
whatever, whatever, yeah, you know, like, you just have to laugh it off.
You, I do, think, because, and honestly, trying to be perfect is literally fucking killing us. Like, it's actually hurting our physical bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Not to, no, I mean, obviously our mental health too, but like, your physical body is deteriorating from it. And like they say too, so much of that is related to gut health. And I, mm-hmm, think that living in that fight or flight for so long, it affects every aspect of our life. And I'm still living in it. I think we all are. But like, I think that finding more moments to be mindful and to honor yourself and to shake it off, like, physically. I remember one time I was worried about what this guy thought about what I said to him in a workout class. He was the instructor. And I was like, I went up to him after and was like, I actually liked your class, and I'm not someone who would take a class from a male instructor. Like, who says that to like a 19-year-old male instructor? I'm 30. Like, there was, I just was nervous, to be honest with,
mm-hmm,
you.
Mm-hmm.
And I went home and I cried because I said that to him. I thought he hated me and he wouldn't like me. And so I'm standing in front of the fridge and I'm crying. And I'm saying, like, you dumb bitch, why would you say that? He hates you. And then I say to myself, I like catch myself and I'm like, Katie, it's okay. It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. He's not thinking about you. Like,
yeah,
it's okay, babe.
It's so hard to actually get that to sink in.
Yeah.
And we practice on each other. Well, you will tell me things that you're insecure about. And I'm like, I have never fucking thought that. I have never looked at that. I have never even, I don't even know. I can't even physically see what the fuck you're talking about.
This mole that stands 5 feet off from my face right here is just, it's doing it for me.
I literally cannot even see it right now. What? So, I don't know. Tell your good people your demons and we'll let you know that they're not fucking real.
That's like also like outing your shadow. Like, these are the things I don't like about myself, but like, they're a part of me and I have to love them and I get to love them. And the less shame that I have around these things that was determined by someone else, it's here.
Yeah.
It's a part of me.
Yes. And I am definitely working on doing that. With my body and with that stuff. So that's where a lot of this practice and uncomfortableness is coming from right now. But I used to be so mean to myself. I have always been a ditz. I have always been, you know, like a clumsy person. I am the person who will like leave their leftovers on the top of their car and drive away. I never know where my keys are. Mm-hmm. Like,
my car is unlocked right now because I think my keys are in it and I can't lock it, but I haven't looked for my keys.
Things that are like common sense to other people are not to me. And my stepmom used to always say that. She'd be like, you just don't have any common sense. Like, this is just common sense. Like, I don't understand how to like get this through your head.
Why don't you get it?
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't, dude, like, I'm not.
Dude,
it's just, something's just not clicking, man. And then I could like laugh about it. And so now when I accidentally like spill shit all over myself, like, I just have Tide wipes with me all the time.
I
and
love
it's
that.
Fine. And like, that's it's
really,
whatever.
That's really good though, Kaylee, because what I do is I try so hard not to get that shame feedback that I am strung so tight that when someone else makes a mistake, I shame them for it.
Mm-hmm.
As a way to deny shame about my own shortcomings.
Mm, yeah.
And it is not good for relationships. It is a hard, hard pattern to break in parenting. And it takes all of my time and effort. So like, okay, also here we are talking about all these things about ourselves that we're working on. No wonder we don't want to spend 60 hours at work in a like bad scenario and situation when we have all of this stuff we're carrying around with us all the time, you know? Like, no wonder we're tired.
Yeah.
We do this. We do this every time.
We we do. It's all fucking connected. And I can just, yeah, go on a tangent of all the stuff I want to work on and all the stuff I like, you know, it's so funny to be like, let's do an episode on burnout and then end up burning ourselves out talking about all the things that like we want to be better at or, well, you know.
And I do really like, I think Therapy Jeff and I know a lot of other people and your therapist has really given feedback that says, like, let's really focus on the language around what we're saying, right? Instead of being like, I need to work on this, it's like, I am working to unlearn this. I want to unlearn this. This was put on me. This is not me. These are not things that are deficiencies. These are things, these were trauma responses. This is how I learned to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that that allows you to see yourself as supported and whole and worthy.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, that's all, that's the whole goal in life. There's nothing else than to know that you were created perfect. In a religious sense, we're not, right? In a spiritual sense, we're not. You were perfect, and then the world happened to you. And that's so cheesy, but it's so true.
Yeah. Little perfect little babies.
Little babies. Okay, let's do this
little
thing.
Little babies.
Let's do this thing.
So, for, like, what we want to really leave people with is, I know we always end up talking about, like, way more than is intended because everything's so connected, but really, stress will fuck you up and it should be taken seriously. B, recognizing that there's some things that you just can't do, but instead of maybe like trying to self-care yourself out of burnout or drink yourself out of burnout or do whatever it is that you're doing in order to make yourself so busy that you don't experience any of your negative feelings, I would say, Katie, like, correct, like, I want to know what you think too, but one of the key takeaways is just, like, sit with those feelings.
And identify.
And don't fucking overbook yourself. Like,
yeah.
Respect your own time and be with yourself.
Yeah, and instead of beating yourself up for being burnout, identify what's not working. What systems are not working in your life?
Yeah, and I would say, honestly, like, each season, do a check-in. Like,
I'm due for one.
You know? Yeah, like, spring, summer, fall, winter, just, like, yeah. What is not serving me right now? What is making me stressed out? What's making me anxious? What's giving me a giant rash, you know?
Well, and I think that's, like, you know, Kaylee and I have decided that it's important to us to take a couple months off even from recording. So this summer, we're going to, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone needs rest. We don't know the secret code, but we're here to talk about it.
Yeah, we're doing our best, and we just want everyone to live happy, restful, you know, lives.
Live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love. Oh, thank you for listening. Thanks for hanging out, Katie.
Yeah, you too, Kay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.